everybody in this room has experienced being let down by someone else. We all of us share that. Some of you trusted another person, maybe with your heart. You believed them, you trusted them, but they betrayed you. There are people in this room who have experienced rejection, some of you even from your own family. I know kids, worked in youth ministry for 16 years. I've known many kids who were rejected by their parents and by family. I know parents right now who their heart is aching and breaking because they taught their children in a wonderful way of growing up about God, but yet now as adults, they have turned their back on that teaching and it breaks their heart and they are feeling rejected. Some of you, maybe you were in a time of need and you needed somebody to be there for you. You called out for help, but no one came. So you wonder now, who can I trust? Some of you may even be trying to live your life for Jesus, but you're living in an environment or with family who, instead of supporting your decision, are criticizing and ridiculing you because of your belief system and the choices you've made. That's your own family. As we talk about letdowns today, I want to start thinking about the life of Jesus. You remember, Jesus was the sinless, perfect Son of God, committed no sin against man nor God, and yet Jesus, with all of that, he was still rejected by mankind. It's odd to me. I love studying God's Word and just finding unique things, but I can't find any place in the Bible. Now, I do find one where I think Jesus is laughing, but I really can't find many places, hardly any places, that it specifically says he was smiling or laughing. Now, I know he did that. He was fully human, but I find so many places where he was agonizing with relational pain. People who let him down, people who hurt him, people who betrayed him. And it happened all the time in his life. There's a well-known Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah, and it describes Jesus' life. It's found in Isaiah 53. Allow me to read it for you. He was despised and rejected by mankind, literally hated by some people. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Again, we're talking about Jesus. Perfect, sinless in every way, yet he was despised by people. Imagine what he went through. He was criticized. Some people say he was a heretic. Some say he was demon-possessed. Others say he was a drunkard, or he was instead a glutton. Some even said he was a false prophet. Now you would think if his friends, I think of the people. These people have been with him 3.5 years. They traveled with him. I hear from those who served in the military, you spend, months, years with a person, even though you may have different personality, you build a bond. You've been in the trenches with them. Here's Jesus' disciples. They've been in the trenches with him 3.5 years. When Jesus was finally condemned and whenever they came to take him, they didn't stay. Judas, the closest disciple, betrayed him. Scripture says he sold him for financial gain. It says he betrayed him with a kiss. If you read the Greek, it's really saying he kissed him over and over. Typically, what a student would do with a rabbi that they were following under. And every one of those kisses was a betrayal. When Jesus was arrested in the garden, everyone deserted him. I don't know how if you do this, but I throw myself sometimes in the Bible and say, what if that was me? What would I do if I was in that situation? First of all, I was one of the disciples. I'd like to think I'd have stayed, but you know what? I wouldn't have. I'm being honest. I wouldn't have. What if I was Jesus? What if I'd have been Jesus? If I'd have been Jesus, oh man, I'd have drawn a line and said, okay, you've betrayed me. No more. I'm not going to take this anymore. You're all in trouble. Well, thankfully, I wasn't Jesus. People let us down. That just happens. That's sinful behavior. Don't be surprised. Here, let me tell you, there's four dangerous results of relational letdowns. And we're going to go over those four kind of real quickly because I just want to let you know that when we are dealing with relational letdowns, it can be a cascade that leads to a lot of other feelings and emotions that can affect us negatively as believers. Here's the first one. First dangerous result of being let down is a hard heart. And you know what I'm talking about? If someone hurts you, you say, well, I'm not going to trust anybody anymore. I'm not going to let my heart get broken again. I'm not going to. And you start building up walls around yourself. And you won't let people get close to you. And you have a hard heart. You don't want to believe it. You never want to trust anybody again. I'm going to stay on my guard. I'm not going to get hurt. That's a hard heart. A second result can be of a relational letdown is a prideful spirit. We're thinking that we're better than other people, and we wouldn't fall into that. We look at other people's actions and say, well, I wouldn't be taken in by that person. I can't believe they trusted them. I'm never going to trust anybody, so nobody's going to hurt me like that. But they just fell into it. I can't believe they were that stupid to fall for that kind of trick and let that person into their life. Oh, I would never do that. It's a very prideful perspective to have. There's a third. I call it justified sin. But just to be really clear, there is no such animal. There is no justified sin. When I see this, it's letting others down, and we've experienced it. We may be at work, you know. I see people, they're at work, they don't get paid very well, they're not appreciated, and they justify stealing things by saying, well, they owed this to me. I've seen this in ministry, not just secular work. I've seen men who justified extramarital affairs and say, well, she's not meeting my needs. Or maybe another is we see others cutting corners at work or cutting corners the way they drive or living in life in some way, and they justify it, and they say, well, you know what? They do it, so I can do it. Justified sin. It's almost like an oxymoron. You can't justify sin. The very nature of sin is contrary to God's will. So you can't justify being contrary to God's will. Well, we do that. We justify the sin. And here's the fourth. A revengeful attitude. You may not actually seek revenge to this person who you believed have hurt you. But you know, in just a second, I'm going to ask you, if you've ever done this, raise your hand. So I want you to listen. That person that hurt you, that person who betrayed you, that person you have strong feelings about, you read on Facebook or you hear in the paper, you hear on the news that something terrible's happened in their life, and you think, God's leveling the playing field. God's took care of that. I didn't have to. How many? Come on. Yeah, it's real easy when you see that. You think like, well, they did bad by me, and I was the bigger Christian, and I let it go. But whenever something happens in their life, yeah, they deserved it. Turn the knife. The sad thing is, what people do today are living with a heart that is far from God and far from God's people. So what do we do? Well, let me share with you how God can help, because God has helped me. There are two prayers that we're struggling with being let down. These two prayers I've held on to for a lot of years in ministry, and they have helped keep me from feeling the feeling of revenge or the feeling of spite or the feeling of letdown or disappointment. These two prayers have helped me through 44 years of ministry, and I want to share these two prayers with you, and I want to encourage you to use them. Here's the first one. Live life with a thicker skin. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience, so it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. That word overlook used there in the Hebrew, it's the word abar, A-B-A-R. It sounds exactly like it's spelled, abar. Say abar. Say it again, abar. That word simply means to overlook, to pass over what happens to you. People sometimes say things and do things that are rude, thoughtless, hurt your feelings, you're upset. God's word's answer is to have a little thicker skin and a bar. Rise above it. Overlook it. Let it pass. Because we live in a time when people are so easily offended. You know, all my life growing up in West Virginia, people would kill me a hilljack, a hillbilly, stump jumper. You name it. I mean, all the jokes, you know, my family tree looks like a bamboo pole. I've heard all the jokes, all the slams about West Virginia. You can't offend me about West Virginia. But you know, there are some people that they just take such offense at everything that's said. They become a professional victim. We live in the era of the snowflake. You've heard that term used, haven't you? And that's the people who, they need private rooms at college where they can go into and they can decompress from the stressful world they live in. Did any of you who served in the military get a room to go into and you could stress out a little bit from being in the military? No, you didn't get that, did you? People were shooting at you. People hear things like, "It took you all day to call me back. I'm so mad at you. I had a life. What kind of friend are you? You didn't drop what you were doing and visit me when I said I was in the hospital. You walked right by me and didn't say hello." That's my favorite because I hear that one all the time. I'm not deaf, but I'm hard of hearing. I'm old and I'm hard of hearing. Some of you can relate to that? Yeah. And I have people who say, "Hey, Roger." And I walk by and it's like, "They just walked right by me. I said, 'Hi, Roger,' and they didn't speak to me. I didn't hear it. I don't hear half of what people say. So join the club." "Oh, you don't understand me. My childhood was bad. That's the way I am." No, that explains why you're the way you are, but it doesn't justify it. So easily offended, and we choose to be miserable. And I'm trying to ask myself, what would I be if Jesus had been so easily offended? Do you ever try to project sometimes how you're doing, put it on Jesus and say, what would that have been like? You know, Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. It was a pretty lengthy message. Could you imagine when he got down from the sermon, he turned to the disciples? "What do you think, guys? Did I hit everything? Did I get enough jokes? Did I do it right?" I mean, he wasn't insecure like that. Jesus fed 5,000. This wonderful meal, when he's done, he walks back to the disciples saying, "I'm never doing that again. Nobody said thank you. I heard a lot of burps. It was rude. Nobody sent me a thank you." I mean, we put some of our actions and the things that Jesus did, and it sounds silly. Because that wasn't the kind of man he was. That's not the kind of men and women we are to be. What did Jesus say? Someone strikes you on the cheek, what are you to do? Take it to heart. Whine and cry and talk bad about them until you hit them back. No, he didn't say that. He said, turn the other cheek. Go into a town and they don't receive you there. What did he say to do? He said, dust your feet off and go on. You can't carry the hurt. You don't need to build a case against them. You need to dust off your feet, let it go, and practice a bar. Rise above it and move on. Here's a simple thought. It may help you with this. This will help with that first prayer. Understand and embrace that people will let you down, so stop hoping that they won't. Now, I know that sounds very negative to say that. Understand, embrace, people will let you down. Now, I'm not saying everybody, every time, but people, as generally, sometimes will let you down. And we need to quit putting all of our efforts and plans and resources into the fact that people will not, because we already know going in, some people will. Every person in this room has a story of someone who let them down. Everybody. It all isn't the same person. It's that we all know people like that. People will let you down. And you have to just understand that. Here's the second thing to remember about this with this prayer. People can't meet your needs, so stop thinking they will. Friends, people aren't going to meet all your needs. I just hate that line from the movie. "Oh, you complete me." Friends, if God doesn't complete you, you can't be completed. People are not designed to meet your needs, friends. God is. Somewhere in scriptures, does it say to trust people with all your heart? I don't think so. I haven't found it. But it does say trust God with all your heart. You see, God won't let you down. God won't fail you. Where people do, God will not. Put all your trust into God, and He will not fail you. Instead, we want to put our trust in people who often will fail us. It's God that affirms us, and that's where we have security. Look at Scripture in 1 Corinthians 4, the 12th chapter. It says, when we are cursed, what do? We bless. When we're persecuted, what do? We endure it. When we're slaughtered, what do? We answer kindly. We're getting a very clear picture here from Scripture how we'd respond. God, help me to live with a thicker skin. Here's our second prayer. This is the second prayer that goes hand in hand with the first. They sound, when you first hear it, it sounds like they're kind of like working off of each other, but there are two distinct prayers. The first is, God, please give me a thicker skin, because we live in a world where everybody's got a thin skin and everybody gets offended, and you just need to say, Agar, Abar, 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 I forgive, I'm going to move on, I'm going to rise above it. Here's the second. God, help me to love with a softer heart. Help me to love with a softer heart. I'm convinced our level of effectiveness as Christ followers hinges on these two areas, having thick skin and a soft heart. A thin-skinned, emotionally sensitive Christian will constantly be put off and put out and eventually walk away from our faith. Because I can just tell you now, if you're in any kind of ministry or you're in any kind of service area in God's kingdom, somebody's going to be rude to you. Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to say something to you. I just tell you, it's going to happen. We serve in the kingdom, and our heart has to remain soft, because God's heart is soft for people. When we can't have a heart for God and not have a heart for people, we can't be done. You can't just say, I'm just all sold out for God. I hate people. God loves people. Send His Son to die for Him. Jesus summed it up this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love, friends. As Christ followers, we need to have the biggest heart for people, because God loves people. And yet some people I know call themselves Christ followers and they could care less about people. If anyone had to excuse a hardened heart, and if they have an excuse and they harden off their heart, friends, it was Jesus who had the excuse. Think of all that was done to Him. Think of the way He was treated over and over. But when mankind was at its worst, Son of God was at His best. In the middle of the biggest relational abuse and letdown in history, Jesus still loved us. Even after He was abused, even after He was arrested, even after He was found guilty, even when they went out to nail Him on a cross, He still loved us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, when He was hanging from a cross. He said this about you, and you, and you. Jesus is our model and our Savior and our Lord, and we're to live a life on earth as He did. Now, I'm being totally transparent, because I tell you, I've struggled at times in ministry to keep a soft heart while developing a thick skin. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But some people think they can say the most negative things to people in ministry. I know a worship minister told me specifically, that a member had come to him and said, you seem like a nice person, but I hate the songs you pick out for worship. He just dedicated himself all week long working with these songs and practicing these songs and developing the theme. And this person, you seem like a nice person, but you're terrible at picking out songs. Who would say that? But they did. A youth minister was once told by a parent, I've been reading about all these kids getting molested. How do we know you're not some kind of pervert? Here's a kid that has stayed up countless nights preparing for events, talking to kids on the phone, encouraging them, sending them notes during the week to encourage them and counseling with them and spend pouring his life into these kids, and their parent says that. I've been told, true quote, "You preach pretty good, but you sure are fat." I wanted to do like, "I am? What happened?" It's like I needed to be told. I didn't know this. Someone else told me, "I don't give money at church because all you preachers are getting rich." As if the money comes from the offering boxes to the preachers. I'm just using these are real life. Every one of these are true. That people say things in ministry to people. Now, I'm saying that because people are going to say stupid things to you too. It may not be about your ministry, but it may be like, "I can't believe you're wearing that. Who's your tailor? Abdul the tent maker?" "Did you mean to put that on this morning? Did you have a bad night's sleep because your face looks terrible?" I know all those lines because people say things to each other. Mean, cruel, rude, thoughtless things. And I'm just telling you, we have to have a heart for people because sometimes it's hard. But there are sometimes you just have to have a soft heart. Even after someone comes to you every week asking for money, they're living on the street and you can smell alcohol in their breath and dilated eyes. Even every week when they come and ask you for money, you have to still have a soft heart. Even when a woman pulls up, this happened a couple weeks ago, pulls up to your office door in a late model, beautiful Cadillac and asks if we're giving away food. It's hard to maintain a soft heart sometimes. I'm telling you, it's hard. But I try to look at every person that comes to me as someone who is valuable because Jesus died for them. Do you get that? Everybody has value because Jesus died even for them as he died for you. It's hard. There are people in this room who have relational struggles going on right now. Family, friends, work, home, spouse. And right now you're struggling with them. You try to deal with them. But for some of you, you need some heart surgery. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of heart surgery that you go into a hospital. I'm not talking about swapping out hearts, that can be done, transplanted today. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about the great physician doing some heart surgery. Ezekiel 36:26. "I will give you a new heart and put in a new spirit in you. I will remove your old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." What do we do when we're let down? By the power of God, a bar. Rise above it, move on. You learn to have a thicker skin. At the same time, you'll have the presence of God and love in your heart because you've developed a soft heart. That's my challenge to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, while the world around us gets harder, more hateful, more negative, more condemning, we need to remain still with a soft heart. Yes, Lord, we need to develop a thick skin so that we're not discouraged and put off by what people say and do. Because we don't work for them. We don't live our life for them. We live our life for you. You are the one who completes us, Father. Not this world. Not our friends. Not our job. Not sports. You complete us. And Father, as we call upon you to help fill those gaps in our lives where we struggle, we want to pour ourselves out and allow you, Father, to do that heart surgery on us. Circumcise our hearts. Put us in a position, Father, where our hearts are laid bare and where we can put aside the struggles and the hate and the pull of this world and focus solely on you. Lord, it's tough these days to be focused on you when the world would have us look every other direction. But Lord, we pray for your help and assistance. Let us pour our hearts into you, for we will never, ever be disappointed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.